night in Chicago. And the University of Illinois says football recruit Michael Hermosillo has decided to give professional baseball a try. Hermosillo was drafted by the L.A. Angels over the weekend. The All-State running back from Ottawa batted 485 during his senior season on the baseball diamond. I'm Jeff Bossert, Illinois Public Media News.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Subaru of Champaign County, featuring the Subaru Impreza, with standard all-wheel drive and an EPA highway rating of 36 mpg, depending on conditions. More information is available at SubaruofChampaign.com or at their location on Route 45 in Savoy.
You're listening to WYLL AM 580. Let's take a look at your Champaign-Urbana weather. For the rest of today, it's going to be sunny and the humidity is going to increase even further with a high of 88 expected by the end of the day. Southwest winds of 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy and a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, low of 70 overnight. Tomorrow, partly sunny, 50% chance of rain and thunderstorms, a very high humidity as we're seeing a high of 92 degrees and southwest winds of 10 to 15 miles per hour. And the humidity should carry over into Wednesday night. Showers and thunderstorms in the evening, then a chance of showers after midnight with a low of 65, 80% chance of rain tomorrow night. Thursday, we're going to see a sudden drop in temperature down to a high of only 79 degrees, and it will be sunny again. By Thursday night, mostly clear with a low of 58. Then on to Friday and the weekend, 40% chance of showers by Saturday and a high of 77, low of 58 Friday and Saturday. So we're going to see on and off rains, a lot of humidity, very quickly fluctuating temperatures over the next couple of days. Let's take a look at temperatures around the state right now, however. Mostly sunny out in Chicago at O'Hare Airport. It's 80 degrees. In Joliet, mostly sunny and 79 at the moment. In Macomb, it's partly sunny and 85 right now. But we're seeing a dew point of 65 at the moment. In Bloomington, partly sunny, Bloomington, Illinois, that is, partly sunny and 81. In Decatur and Peoria, mostly sunny in both places, 83 in Decatur, 80 in Peoria, mostly sunny in Springfield and 84. In Rantoul, it's 85 degrees right now. Champaign at Willard Airport, it's partly sunny. We are seeing some cloud coverage there. It's 82 degrees. Right now, it's 83 at Friends Plaza in Urbana, outside of our studios, and overcast. You're listening to the Afternoon Magazine on WILL Radio.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Meadows Edge at Clark Lindsay, a new community to be located adjacent to Meadowbrook Park on the east side of the Clark Lindsay campus. Meadows Edge will offer villa accommodations for active adults looking for condo-style homes. Learn more at clark-lindsay.com.
You're listening to the Afternoon Magazine on WILL AM 580. I'm Chris Berube. A powerful new documentary called 20 Feet from Stardom tells the story of the backup singers who's made pop and rock songs so memorable, and their often heartbreaking stories about trying to get to the front of the stage. NPR's Mandalit Del Barco has their story.
20 Feet from Stardom is a reminder that most of pop music's catchiest hooks were sung anonymously. Filmmaker Morgan Neville says he wanted to put these unheralded voices, black, female, and honed in the church, front and center.
I was really more interested in looking at people who were kind of voices for hire, who were able to walk into sessions, never knowing what they had to do, and could bring it.
Bring it like Mary Clayton did for the Rolling Stones. Clayton got a shot at stardom, but it never panned out. The film is filled with heartbreak stories. Darlene Love was the voice for hits credited to other singers in the 1950s and 60s, her career derailed by producer Phil Spector. In the documentary, she says she was so discouraged she gave up music for many years.
The only thing I thought I could do and make a little money to survive, you know, I started cleaning houses. Not the great Darlene Love. She's not doing cleaning houses. I say, yes, the great Darlene Love is. She is cleaning houses.
It's kind of bittersweet. Everybody was, most of us, we were always kind of bubbling under.
Claudia Lanier, who's also featured in the movie, told me about singing backup for Ike and Tina Turner.
come. We hit the floor running, and you just better catch up, because if we didn't, believe me, Ike was giving us the evil eye. So we had to perform. And if you didn't perform, when you got your check at the end of the week, it had a list of deductions that he took out of your check.
Soon she was touring with Joe Cocker, posing for Playboy, and partying with David Bowie and Mick Jagger, who co-wrote the song Brown Sugar in her honor.
People focus on who wrote the song about who, but why didn't they write a song for me to sing? That would have made all the difference in me making that left or right turn and why I dropped off the map. Because if you're not a songwriter yourself, a lot of it does depend on the right material.
Lanier did get to record a solo album. It went nowhere. She had a daughter to support, bills to pay, and she got fed up with the rock and roll lifestyle.
I got tired of stepping over people passing out in my house. And one day I just told them, look, here's your hat and coat. And then I just closed up shop and just remembered the things that I had been trained about in college and took that path. And that's where I went. That's where I dropped off the radar.
Lanier stopped singing.
Not a zilch.
She's been quietly teaching Spanish grammar at a small Southern California college for the past 30 years.
Most of my students did not know, but through the grapevine, they started finding out. I Googled your name last night and all of this stuff came up and I didn't know you did this and you sang with so-and-so. And I'm like, oh boy, here we go.
Lisa Fisher got a little closer than 20 feet to stardom. She won a Grammy for her 1991 hit, How Can I Ease the Pain? But she says she found a solo career frightening.
I just didn't feel safe. You know, people have certain visions of what they see for you. And as they're doing their jobs, they may see, well, you know, chess move. This makes sense to do this. It's strategic. This is war. This is, you just don't know what's going to happen until the next move is made. And I think just all those things just made me crazy. It's like I just wanted to have a relationship with the music. And it just scared me too much. I wasn't ready. I really wasn't ready.
Fisher prefers singing backup, and she's sung with just about everybody from Luther Vandross to Chaka Khan to Sting. She's on the road now with the Rolling Stones.
Feels like we're part of this one tuning fork and it's broken in half. And somehow together, when we're singing together, we're putting this tuning fork back together. Like if you were to sing like one note and I'd have to learn how you're singing this one note and just hone it and change it until it feels like, until it's one beautiful thing. It's like being cradled.
Maybe where you're supposed to be. Save the care within the crowd. But you're looking for a reason to break free. Seems like you want to scream, but your voice is never too loud.
29-year-old Judith Hill represents the newest generation of background singers in the film. She was to duet with Michael Jackson on his comeback tour, which was canceled by his death. She even had a shot on the TV competition show The Voice, where she was a favorite before getting eliminated. Hill says she's determined to make a career with her own music.
It's such a hard, hard business. I want to release an album. I want to tour as much as possible. But anytime I get the opportunity to sing backgrounds, I want to do it because it's so much fun. But I think the key is to stay active and stay visible.
Hill is not counting on the new documentary for a career boost as much as some of the older singers are. Mary Clayton's solo recordings are being reissued to coincide with the movie. Darlene Love's biography was recently re-released. Even Claudia Lanier says she's inspired to begin singing again. There's talk of a comeback tour for the stars of the documentary.
That documentary is called 6 Feet from Stardom, or 20 Feet from Stardom. It tells the story of backup singers who've made pop and rock songs so memorable it is rolling out across the country now. That report from NPR's Mandalit Del Barco. You're listening to the Afternoon Magazine here on WILL. Well, National Envelope is, as the name would suggest, the largest privately held manufacturer of envelopes in the United States. Well, this week they filed for bankruptcy. It's a sign that the paperless digital world is finally coming together, NPR's Nathan Rott reports.
It is a digital age where posting photos from your smartphone is a faster way to show grandma your summer home than posting a card. But if you ask the paper-based communications industry, the decline of their sales does not lie squarely at the feet of the Mark Zuckerbergs of the world.
This is a problem that lies squarely at the foot of Congress.
Maynard Benjamin is the president and CEO of the Envelope Manufacturers Association, a group that represents 80% of the envelope and packaging companies in the U.S.
Congress has not acted. The Postal Service continues to get a little bit financial weaker every month, and this has a downstream impact on industry.
Fewer post offices, fewer hours, fewer letters mailed. But all is not lost, Benjamin says.
We have about 3.5 million envelopes are just used in greeting cards that are passed hand to hand in this country. I don't know about you, but I would not send my spouse an e-card as an anniversary greeting. That wouldn't work out real well.
Point taken. Nathan Rott, NPR News.
WILL programming is made possible by Columbia Street Roastery, roasting coffee daily at 24 East Columbia in Champaign. Also offering a variety of tea and chai. Open Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 5:15 p.m. and Saturday mornings from 9 to noon. More information is available at 352-9713.
Teens read a lot of books written at a fifth grade level.
By the time they hit late middle school, we don't see a lot of increase in the difficulty of books children are choosing to read.
Many high school teachers assign easy books, too.
The average was around the sixth grade level.
The dumbing down of high school reading. Later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Today from 4 to 7 on AM 580 and from 5 to 7 on FM 90.9.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Tuesday, the 11th of June, 2013. It's the birthday of the novelist William Styron, born in Newport News, Virginia in 1925. As a teenager, he enlisted in the Marines to fight in World War II, but by the time he'd finished training and set sail for Japan, the war had ended. He moved to Brooklyn, got a job as an office boy at the McGraw-Hill Publishing House. He was supposed to write book jacket copy, but he was so disgusted with most of the books that he filled all his summaries with insult and foul language. After throwing several paper airplanes and water balloons out his office window, he got fired and decided to make it as a writer. In 1951, when he was 26 years old, he published his first novel, Lie Down in Darkness. It's the story of a beautiful young woman named Peyton Loftus who commits suicide. It got great reviews, and critics compared Styron to William Faulkner. Styron was awarded the Rome Prize, but before his time in Italy, he decided to spend a summer in Paris. There he met a group of expat writers, Peter Matheson, George Plimpton, James Baldwin. Styron wrote, "I had just published a first novel and was a celebrity, though one of the very low rank, since few of the Americans in Paris had heard of my book, let alone read it." He was only in Paris for about 6 weeks, but he helped found the Paris Review, which debuted in 1953. Styron was one of the first writers interviewed for their Art of Fiction section. Matheson and Plimpton conducted the review. Styron went on to write The Confessions of Nat Turner, Sophie's Choice, and Darkness Visible, a memoir of madness. And it's the birthday of poet David Leman, born in New York City in 1948. He started writing poems in the style of his favorite poets, including Frank O'Hara, Kenneth Koch, group known as the New York School, and he has even written a book about those poets called The Last Avant-Garde. In 1995, Leman went to a poetry reading by the poet Robert Bly, where Bly announced that he had been writing a poem every day before he got out of bed in the morning. Leman liked the idea, so he decided to try it himself. He published his daily poems in the collections The Daily Mirror and The Evening Sun. And here's a poem by Edward Hirsch, entitled In Spite of Everything, The Stars. Like a stunned piano, like a bucket of fresh milk flung into the air, or a dozen fists of confetti thrown hard at a bride stepping down from the altar, the stars surprise the sky. Think of dazed stones floating overhead, or an ocean of starfish hung up to dry. Yes, like a conductor's expectant arm about to lift toward the chorus, or a juggler's plates defying gravity, or 100 fastballs fired at once and freezing in midair, the stars startle the sky over the city. And that's why drunks leaning up against abandoned buildings, women hurrying home on deserted side streets, policemen turning blind corners, and even thieves stepping from alleys all stare up at once. Why else do sleepwalkers move toward the windows, or old men drag flimsy lawn chairs onto fire escapes, or hardened criminals press sad foreheads to steel bars? Because the night is alive with lamps.